All right, 129 in the hymn book.
I got the name of it from, Bob Hitchens, thank you. Yeah, and so I was looking for devotional myself, so I ordered one, which was a feast in itself, because what you have to do is you cannot order one, you have to order 10 or more. So what I did this for a whole month, and it was pretty good. I liked it. So I'm just extending it out to you. If you want to have it, I'm going to put this up here on the piano, and I want to put a sign-up list. If you look through it, want to look through it, or take one home looking through it, and if you decide that you want one, every 2 months this comes out, sign it on the list, and if I get enough orders, then I can, for at least 10 of them, then I'll send it in, and we'll make sure that we have these at least every 2 months, so we can just follow it day by day. It's a daily devotional, and it's from evangelist Tim Green, and he's from Westland, Michigan, and he's from a church out there. I can't find the name of the church. I had it a minute ago. You have to know what church he's affiliated with. It's Ministry of Joy Baptist Church in Westland, Michigan, and it's evangelist Tim Green who puts it out. And it goes on. There's every month there's a whole bunch of pastors and evangelists out there that writes for the month. So they're all in here, so it's in the beginning of the book. Just take a look at the book, look through it. If you like it, sign the sheet so I know who all wants one. Yes, Sam.
Is there any charge for those?
No. No. They're like, depending on how many you order, they're like about $1.25 a piece. So, yeah, we'll just order them for you guys, and then you can have them. Any questions? Thanks.
All right. We'll go over our memory verse then. Mark chapter 12. We're still on verse 30 for this week, but we're going to move on to verse 31 on Sunday. We've been going over the first commandment. Or in Mark, it's called the first commandment or greatest commandment. So we'll go over verses 29 and 30 for tonight. Mark 12, 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." All right. Number 168. Following that, we'll take a couple minutes to look at any new prayer requests. 168. good.
Not feeling too well, so I I told him we would be praying for them, for her, that this pregnancy would go okay.
From his creation. We see that in verse 1,
And then I would also like to turn to Colossians chapter 1 for just a couple of minutes. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Secondly, here we see the firmament separated the waters on earth from the waters above earth. And we don't have time to go into a discussion of what we call the canopy theory. But basically what that states is, before the flood, there was a canopy that protected the earth from what we now have to deal with. Sun's rays and so forth, all of that was protected before the flood. And when we talk about where all the water came from, in addition to the actual rain that came down, a lot of it came from that canopy. We don't have time to get into that tonight, but that's what the idea behind the firmament here. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 for just a minute here. Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. All right, so we see here in verse 7 that God made the firmament to divide the waters which were under it from the waters which were above it. Okay. And the word handiwork there back in Psalm 19, verse 1 at the end there, indicates, if we go back to the original Hebrew, that the Hebrew behind that word handiwork indicates that the origin of all things beyond our human capability or comprehension. And that's pretty obvious. The term ex nihilo, which means out of nothing, we can understand that. We can take something that's already here and make something else out of it. That's all we can do as human beings. We can't take something that didn't exist and now it's here. We can't do that. No, we don't understand that. Alright, let's move on to the second section now under God's creative work. All are aware of the Creator's existence. First under that, our 24-hour time cycle points to the Creator. Verse 2, day unto day utter speech and night unto night show knowledge. Obviously we understand 24-hour period, there's day and night, or night and day, however you choose to phrase it. And obviously, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we'll see that it'll say that the evening and the morning is the first day, the second day, the third day, etc. So, it's there. Alright. secondly here, regardless of background, God has made sure all have general revelation. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We'll have to move quickly so we don't get behind here tonight. We don't want to take too long. But Romans chapter 1, another familiar passage that deals with this subject. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Alright, so going back to verse 20 in this passage, they are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So, God has made sure that that revelation is there for everyone. Third here, God declares His creative genius throughout the whole earth. Alright, that would be verse 4 there. Okay? And then as part of that, we move on to the third section of God's creative work, and that is the comparison and contrast between the physical sun and God the sun. All right? First, under that, both are essential for life, one physical, the other both physical and spiritual. We all know John 14, 6, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? And obviously we've already seen in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus was behind the creation of life, physical life as we know it as well. So that's important. Okay. Secondly here, even though there are bigger stars in the universe, the sun is the preeminent one. God's sun should have that from us also. We've already looked at Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Third here, the sun, S-U-N, here is compared to a bridegroom. God's sun is the bridegroom of the church. Again, verse 4 and verse 5. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the famous passage talking about the responsibility, of course, of submission one to another, and then it talks about the duties of the wife and the duty of the husband. And then we see the whole purpose of why those duties are listed here, beginning in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Skip down to verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Skip down to verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Right. So, fourth thing under the comparison. The earth and the other planets revolve around the sun. Our lives should revolve around God's Son and what He has done for us. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. And by the way, as we've already noted many times, that word Him is removed out of all the modern versions. Alright? Obviously, everybody has the capability of love. But we cannot love God. We will not be able to do so unless He had demonstrated His love to us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commendeth or demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Fifth here, the sun goes from one end of the heavens to the other. Verse 6 there. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. God's Son is omnipresent everywhere at the same time. John 3, verse 13, if you look that up real quickly. Obviously, we know this is the passage where the Lord Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. John 3, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. By the way, that last phrase, which is in heaven, is taken out of the modern versions. Because, obviously, as we've already seen in what I just said here, the omnipresence of God is an attribute of God. Jesus was and is claiming to be God's Son. And if He is physically present on earth, if He were not omnipresent, He could not be in heaven at the same time. But He could be because He is omnipresent. Okay, last under this section, everything is affected by the sun, the physical sun. All will be affected by God's Son. We've already seen this passage both in my separate message on this and also from Brother Prue. But Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, a famous passage about how Christ humbled Himself and became a servant. And as a result of His death on the cross, God has exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. And everyone will bow. And as we've noted many times, it's better to do that now when you choose to do so rather than being forced to do it later on. Alright. The second section here is covering verses 7 through 11, God's special revelation, the Word of God. Now, we've noted many times that the general revelation, which is God's creation, will allow humans to know about the existence of God. But what to do about that, we need the Word of God for. And so that's why God gave it to us. In verses 7 through 11, we see numerous times, and we see this in other places in the Psalm, particularly Psalm 119, where the Word of God is called various things. In verse 7, it's called the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord in verse 8, the commandment of the Lord in verse 8, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, so forth. It's just various descriptions all talking about God's Word. All right. First, under this section, God's Word is perfect. It's complete. Secondly, even those considered less smart than others can become wise because of God's Word. We won't take the time to look this up, but throughout the book of Proverbs and in many other places in both the Old and New Testament, we can see where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and many other statements like that.
Third here, God's word does the soul's conversion unto salvation. It is not of man. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Fourth here, God's word is pure, is sure, excuse me. It isn't going anywhere, and no one can dispute its veracity. By the way, just out of curiosity, that's not a word we use very often. What does the word veracity mean? I'm sorry?
Truth.
Good. All right. And by the way, that came from the second half of verse 7. Verse 8, we see God's word is sure, is right. We can rejoice in that. All right. Sixth here, God's word is just as holy and pure as its author. We become more aware of who God is and who we are as a result. The end of verse 8 there. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, right? Obviously, we hear the statement about school where the teacher teaches and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. Well, the same thing is true in a spiritual sense when the Spirit of God reveals the Word to us. This would be number 7 here. The fear of the Lord is respect and reverence for our God. It is not dread or fear of reprisal. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for just a minute. Let's start in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So, we have no reason, if we have been bought by the blood of Christ, and we are his children, God's children, we have nothing to be afraid of. All right? We won't take the time to look at it, but Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. We've already seen from Brother Mark Reno's study in Proverbs about the fear of the Lord. I would like to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. First John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And by the way, the word perfect there in verse 18 is talking about maturity. Okay, so it's not talking about sinless perfection. We realize that in this life that's not possible. We still have our old nature living within us. Even though there are lots of people who think that they haven't sinned in years. Well, the fact that they think that is sin itself, unfortunately. Sin of pride. All right. All right. Next here on our list, God's word is without contamination and endures forever. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Familiar passage. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then also Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And by the way, that phrase at the end is important. Because obviously, because we are sinful human beings, God's word is not settled here on earth at this time. It will be. Millennial kingdom. Then God's word will be settled here on earth too. And obviously, moving forward beyond that, when the new heavens and the new earth are created, then it will definitely be the case. All right. God's word is truth and is the source of righteousness. John 17, 17. I think most of us know that passage, so we won't turn to it. Thy word is truth. Next, God's word should be treasured above anything important in this world, like gold or even food. Job 23:12. This verse always convicts me when I read it because of the difficult things that Job went through during that time in his life, and yet he could still say this. And he didn't even have any of God's word at this point. We believe that this book, the book of Job, was probably the first book written in the Old Testament. Certainly the events way predate anything except for the first 10 chapters of Genesis, perhaps. But anyway, Job 23, verse 12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And then also Luke chapter 12, verses 21 through 34. We won't take time to read the whole passage, but we'll get the gist of it. Luke 12. This obviously is a companion passage to the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. But basically, verse 21 talks about laying up treasure, not to lay up treasure for yourself and not being rich toward God. Okay? The life is more than just the physical aspects of here and now, food and clothing and so forth. The animals, and it specifically talks about ravens and so forth. They don't think about any of that because God just automatically provides for them. And the same thing should be true of each one of us. Verse 31, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So basically, and 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So our focus should not be on what's going on here and now. It should be focusing on God and His Word and how we can proclaim it to others.
All right. God's word warns us about many things, and if we heed those warnings, great is our reward. Verse 11 says that. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And it's going back to the end of verse 9, talking about the judgments of the Lord. That's the object there. And in keeping of those judgments, there is great reward. All right, last but not least here, just a couple of things here on verses 12 through 14. What should be our response to God's revelation, both general and special? First, acknowledge our sin. First, under that, is realize we sometimes sin without even knowing it. And I won't look at these passages for the sake of time, but Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, and we all know Jeremiah 17, 9, our hearts are wicked, and so we don't even realize it sometimes when we do the wrong thing or not do the right thing. Secondly, under that is all of us face besetting sins that we have trouble with, and we always seem to fall to those temptations. And then secondly, ask God for help to avoid sin and to maintain the right kind of relationship with Him. And that's what verse 14 there, the end of the chapter, is talking about. All right. I'm done. Any comments or questions? Okay. Hope the passage was a blessing to you. Well, now, go to our groups for prayer.